Well, good morning, church, and everybody watching at our first service at Pinnacle Hills. We are honored to have you join us via video. I encourage you to grab your Bible, whether you're in this room or in that room, and let's turn with us all together to Genesis chapter 40. And if you don't have a Bible today and you've come to church, don't worry about that. We will put all the verses that I'm going to read on the screen for you. And if you ever need a Bible, be open with us. Let us know that. We would love to give you a Bible. A few weeks ago, we began a new series covering the life of a guy named Joseph out of the Old Testament. This whole series is about how God is in control of your life. Now, if you're honest with yourself, it doesn't always feel that way. Isn't that right? Sometimes you hear and you know that God is in control, but it doesn't always necessarily feel like he is control. There are times in your life where you may wonder where God is, you may wonder what he's doing, and if he is even aware of your situation. This series is all about reminding you that God is sovereign. In fact, we call this entire series Sovereign Over Me, that God is sovereign over all of the details of your life. Now, one of the main ways that we often doubt that God is really sovereign is that he doesn't always operate in the way that we believe he should. Has that ever happened in your life? Well, Lord, I thought you were going to do this, and you did not do that. Every one of us in both of these rooms, whether you admit it or not, every one of us have an ideal scenario in each situation that will unfold. God's going to work this way within this amount of time. We dealt with the first part of that the first 2 weeks. We talked about how God is sovereign over our future and our disappointments. Today, we are going to speak to the element of time. God doesn't always operate on our timeline. Isn't that frustrating? Like, can we be honest together? Man, it's sometimes I just wish that God would do it, and he would do it now. And so today, the title of our message is this: God is sovereign over my delays. When God doesn't work within the time frame I think he should, he is still in control. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands in this room or at Pinnacle, but I just want to ask you a rhetorical question, okay? If you don't know what rhetorical means, that means it's a question you don't have to answer out loud, all right? But here's the rhetorical question for you. Anybody in the room waiting on God today? Anybody got something in your life, something in your family, something at the office where you're like, Lord, I have asked and I have continued to ask and I am still asking, and Lord, I just don't know when this is going to resolve. God is in charge and God has not forgotten you. Now, if you've missed the last few weeks and maybe you're just coming in fresh on this series today, let me give you the background of the story in about 30 seconds that will catch you up to speed. Joseph was the favorite son of his father. His name was Israel. All of his brothers hated Joseph, okay? They were very jealous of him. And so they plotted to murder him. Well, instead of murdering him, they ended up throwing him in a pit while deciding what they were going to do with him. At that time, some slave traders came by who were on the way to Egypt. And so, no, they didn't kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery. And he was all the way in Egypt when he was bought by a guy named Potiphar. This is the story we talked about last week. Potiphar's wife tries to come on to him. Joseph is in his integrity, refuses her attempts. And she lies about him. Joseph has now been thrown into prison, and that is where we pick up the story, okay? This is an up and down roller coaster of a life. We talked a lot about that last week. Now, if you're a note taker, let me go ahead and give you our main idea for the day, and this is going to be one that you probably don't want to hear. Can I just be honest with you? Like, when I say this, you're going to be like, oh, come on, man, give me something else as the main point today, all right? Here's what it is. God's delays are God's directions. God's delays are God's directions. You may hear that and you're like, nah, I don't want that. I want God's delays to end in my life, not direct me in my life. Ultimately, I'm going to ruin the end of the story for you. I've done that a few different times throughout the series. But let me tell you what's about to happen in our story and in the stories to come over the next couple weeks. Joseph is going to be called out of prison by Pharaoh himself. He's going to interpret his dream, be given a new platform. He's going to save Egypt and the surrounding nations. But all of that begins with a delay. All of that begins with a prison sentence that has lasted way too long for something that he never even did. Joseph doesn't get out of prison quickly. In fact, he spends 2 years here is what the Bible is going to tell us today. And I'm sure there were moments where he sat there in his cell wondering, man, when am I going to get out of here? I didn't even do anything. Lord, Lord, are you not hearing me? Are you not seeing me? This is wrong. I've been accused falsely. And you can only imagine all of these conversations he's had with God. There are some of you here today who you're probably having the same type of conversations with God. Lord, when will this be over? When will I be free from the situation that I'm in? And today, I really believe that God wants to speak to your heart. So let's just pick up the story right at the beginning of chapter 40 of the book of Genesis. If I can turn my page here, I will get to it. There we go. Genesis chapter 40, let's begin in verse 1. It says, sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. So the cupbearer and the baker did something against Pharaoh, and they're in trouble. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. Now, we are introduced here to the two key players so far in the story. You have a cupbearer of the king. You say, well, what is a cupbearer of the king? A cupbearer would be somebody when the king was given his drink or his wine, whatever he was drinking at the time. The cupbearer would be the one who would drink the drink first, just to make sure somebody was not trying to kill the king and overthrow the government. So it's kind of a really gross thing. It's definitely not COVID-friendly. I'm a germaphobe, so honestly, I've been preparing for COVID my entire life, all right? I've regularly washed my hands, you know, so I'm all good. This is the opposite, okay? So the Pharaoh would drink after the cupbearer to make sure that he was safe. The second guy is known as the baker for the king. This was the guy who would prepare food for Pharaoh. These two people are placed in prison, and what the Bible tells us next is really beginning to get us into the heartbeat of the story. There are two dreams that these two guys have, okay? The cupbearer and the baker both have a dream. They're both troubled of like, man, what in the world does this mean? You ever wake up and think, what just happened? You ever have those weird dreams? And Joseph notices that they're a little downtrodden. He's like, hey guys, what's up? Like, what happened last night? And they tell him his dreams, and Joseph begins to interpret. Now, here was the interpretation. The cupbearer, he said, this is essentially what your dream means. In 3 days, Pharaoh will restore you to your position as the cupbearer. And the baker hears the good news about what he just told the cupbearer. And he's like, oh, sweet. Joseph, what's my interpretation? And he says, well, Mr. Baker, or whatever his name was, this is what your dream means. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head from you, and the birds will eat your flesh. Not as encouraging, right? Kind of a bad interpretation there. Well, what happens? Skip down. Look at verse 20 of chapter 40. It says this, on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. If you got your Bible there and a pen, I would underline verse 23. The chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but instead forgot him. Okay? The dreams both come true. The cupbearer is restored, the baker's killed. And what's the point that gets to the heartbeat of our message? It's verse 23. The chief cupbearer forgot about him. This is what brings the delay. He is totally forgotten. Anybody relate with that? Anybody ever feel like there's times in your life where you've been forgotten? Maybe you feel forgotten within your family. You're even dreading going to Thanksgiving. You're like, man, I'm kind of the last one on the totem pole in my family. Maybe it's somebody with your friends. Maybe something that way at the office. And if you're honest, maybe even today, you feel like God has forgotten you. Now, here's the great truth about this passage. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. God sees what man doesn't see, and God remembers what man doesn't remember. Isn't that a good word for your heart today? God sees what man doesn't see. God remembers what man doesn't remember. And so today, if you feel forgotten, I want you to be encouraged by that simple truth that God sees exactly what you're walking through, and God remembers exactly the situation that you're in. You know, it's an interesting thing when you think about what being forgotten does to the human soul and psyche. When people feel forgotten, it often leads to insecurity. You ever seen that in your life? Maybe you've seen it in somebody in your family. And people express insecurity in all kinds of weird ways, okay? There's something about insecurity in the human soul that causes us to do some odd things from time to time. Sometimes it results in people try to lift themselves up. Sometimes people are insecure and they overcompensate, like they try to show how important they are. Other times it causes people to just be jealous or resentful towards others. But here's my encouragement for us. We as the people of God, okay, so here in the room, Fayetteville, there in the room at Pinnacle Hills, we as the people of God, we don't respond with any of those things when we feel forgotten. We respond with trust in the Lord. Let me remind you what the psalmist said about those who get promoted or elevated. It says in Psalm 75, "For not from the east or from the west and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another." God is the one who elevates, and God is the one who puts down. God's delays are God's directions. Can I use bad English for a second? Okay, is that all right? Or do I have approval from the crowd today? This is going to sound off, okay, because it is off, but I think it's theologically right, okay? God had him got forgot. Does that make sense? God had Joseph got forgotten, okay? Joseph got forgot, and this came with a purpose. Well, you say, well, Nick, what happens? Well, let's look back at the passage. Skip down now into chapter 41 of the book of Genesis. Look at verse 1. After 2 whole years, underline that in your Bible, it's so key to today's message. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. So this verse connects us to the end of chapter 40, to the beginning of chapter 41, and the chief cupbearer forgot him. And how long did he forget Joseph? He forgot him for 2 whole years. You ever gotten frustrated with God after like 2 days? Or maybe like 2 weeks, you're like, Lord, where are you? Man, I've been waiting for 2 months. 2 whole years sitting in a prison cell waiting on God to move. Pharaoh has a dream that he was standing by the Nile. Well, what is the dream and what does that have to do with Joseph's story? And how does that intersect with the story of Egypt and ultimately surrounding nations and his own family? Well, we're about to see it, okay? Here's Pharaoh's 2 dreams. The first dream was this. He saw 7 fat cows and 7 thin cows, and the thin ones ate the fat ones. It's kind of an odd dream, is that not? Second dream was this. There were 7 good ears of grain, and there were 7 thin ears of grain. And what happened? The good ones ate the thin ones. Well, much like the cupbearer and the baker upon their dreams, Pharaoh wakes up disturbed. And he calls his magicians, he calls his interpreters in to the room. He's like, guys, I've had this dream. I'm at the Nile. There's all these cows. There's all these ears of grain. What in the world does this mean? And none of them could tell him. Now look down, skip down to verse 9. It says, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. So Pharaoh, I have wronged you. I'm just remembering now what I should have known all along. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. Now here's where he starts to talk about Joseph. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Finally, the cupbearer remembers, Pharaoh, I'm so sorry I forgot. There used to be this guy, I don't even know if he's still there, that he was in prison. It was a Hebrew guy, and he interpreted my dream. Maybe he could interpret your dream as well. God's delays are God's direction. Had Joseph gotten out of prison sooner, he would not have been in a position to help Pharaoh here and now. At the exact moment Pharaoh needed someone to interpret the dream, the cupbearer was reminded of Joseph. And in many ways, this story of Joseph is a story about waiting on God. Now, there is no more frustrating spiritual discipline in your life than that of waiting on God, okay? If I were to say, hey, listen, 2020, let's say it was 2019 and it's November, okay? So a year ago, and I'm like, church, I just have this gut feeling that 2020 is not going to be what we cracked it all up to be, and I just feel like it's going to be a season of waiting on God together. All of us would have been like, man, I hope he's wrong. I really do. I hope the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. Man, I don't want to have a season of waiting on God because that's never fun, right? God is into timing. He's into the timing of your life. He's into the seasons of your life in ways that I fully can't express or explain to you. I love what Christian counselor and author Jade Mazarin says. She says this: something actually happens while nothing is happening. God uses waiting to change us. What a great way to say it. So if you're in a season of waiting today, here's what's happening. Something actually is happening while nothing is happening. And God is using waiting to change us. And so to take a whole look at your life and to take a step back and say, okay, so what is God doing in my life? Waiting is for your benefit. God uses it in ways in your life that you cannot see. So said in a very simple way, God is working in your waiting. I think there was a song about that maybe. God is working in your waiting. And like I said, waiting on God is one of the most incredibly difficult and confusing spiritual disciplines. I do believe it's a spiritual discipline that we have in our walk with the Lord. By a show of hands, anybody ever tried to force something in your spiritual life? Anybody ever ask God for something and he didn't give it to you, and then later you're like, oh God, thank you for not giving me what I asked you for? What's all that a part of? It's all a part of waiting on God. And so I want to get very practical for a moment here, then we'll go back and we'll complete the passage for today. But if you're in a season of waiting, I just put together an acrostic of how do you handle waiting? And I just did this with the word wait, okay? So again, if you're a note taker, hope this helps you, all right? The W stands for this. You got to walk with others. You got to walk with others. When you're in a season of waiting, here's my encouragement to you. Don't wait alone. You need to walk with other people. This is why we're pushing small groups at the church all the time, so you can have other people in your life going the same direction as you, trying to walk with Jesus, that can help you along the way. You need friends in your life who can encourage you, speak into your life, challenge you, speak truth to you. You know, pretty regularly over the last 12 years that I've been here at Cross Church, I have been a part of speaking into the lives of our younger staff. And I have dealt with so many staff who were so eager to serve God and zealous to serve God. And all that's an awesome, godly thing, right? But sometimes that zeal led them to maybe be tempted to do things before they were ready. And so I would often have this conversation with them of this manner. Like, listen, you cannot skip the next decade of your life. You can't fast forward past what God wants to do in you and how he wants to develop you. And it could be that you need somebody else in your life that's walking alongside of you to help you wade through some of those same kind of decisions. Is it time to go and take a job? Is it time to just hunker down at your office and just move forward? Is it time to take a step in your family? Or is it time to just wait? That's why you need to walk with others. The A stands for apply scripture. Apply scripture. Sometimes we miss the basics while we are in seasons of waiting. So here's the question I would ask yourself. If you're in a season of waiting, you need to ask yourself this. What are the basic biblical applications that I can make today? All right, there's going to be a lot of things in your life, throughout your life, that you don't know what to do. My fear is that sometimes as Christians, we are so consumed with what we do not know that we actually neglect what we do know. Go with what you do know to do right now in this moment. So apply scripture. The I stands for this: increase your prayer life. Increase your prayer life. Draw close to the Lord. I taught you this about a year ago. Every uncertainty in your life is an invitation to intimacy with Christ. So if you're waiting on God, you're uncertain about something in your life, here's my encouragement to you. You might be in a season of uncertainty, and let that draw you into intimacy with the Lord. Every January, starting January 1st, we do 21 days of prayer. And so we're going to do that again. It's a specific time of prayer and fasting as a church. And I want to encourage you that if you're in a season of waiting, to take 21 days of prayer more seriously than you ever, ever have before. Increase your prayer life if you're in a season of waiting. The T simply stands for this. You got to trust God. You got to place all of your dependency upon the Lord. That word dependency is the real key today. I love what Andrew Murray writes in his book, Waiting on God. He writes this: all that the church and its members need for the manifestation of the mighty power of God in the world is the return to our true place, the place that belongs to us both in creation and redemption. Here's what the place is: the place of absolute and unceasing dependence upon God. There is something about waiting on God that pushes you towards dependence on God. And if that's where God has you, that's a good place to be. Now, it doesn't feel like that. Okay, it feels uncertain. It feels nerve-wracking. It feels like I just don't want to be here. But in a spiritual sense, you got to step out of the situation and understand in a spiritual sense to be at a place of dependence is the safest place you can be with the Lord. I believe the goal ultimately, all of waiting on God is this, a deeper trust of God. I told you that last week related to disappointment in your life, and disappointments is simply an opportunity to deeper trust in the Lord. I think the same could be said today. God's delays in your life are a means to get you to a deeper trust of God in your life. So if you're having the Lord press pause on something in your life, you're like, man, Lord, push play. Like, we got to go. We got to get going on this stuff. It could be that God is just pushing you towards a deeper trust. Let's wrap all this up today. Okay, what was the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream? And then we'll move right into closure today. Essentially, the goal was this. And here's what the interpretation was: from God through Joseph to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, Egypt, is about to have 7 plentiful years of food, followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph gives Pharaoh some advice about how we should handle this. Skip down all the way to verse 35 and 36. He says this, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. Here's Joseph's really advice to him. We're going to do this, Pharaoh. You got to hold back some food during the 7 plentiful years. You got to begin to store that up to make it through the thin years of famine. What is about to unfold that we're not going to read today, but you're about to see it in the coming weeks. Pharaoh is about to put him in charge of that entire process. And so again, think about the up and down journey. Loved by his father, hated by his brothers. They're going to murder him, or they're throwing a pit, gets into slavery. Bought by Potiphar, raises up, falsely accused, it's back down. Remember I showed you this last week. Now he's been in prison for 2 whole years, and now Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is putting him in charge of a process that will save the nation. All of that brings me back to our original idea today, okay? This is so good for you in the room, so good for you at Pinnacle Hills, okay? God is sovereign over the delays in your life. In fact, like I've told you over and over today, God's delays are God's directions. And so if God really has pushed pause in your life, today's not a day to just kind of push that through. Today's a day to say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What do I need to do accordingly to move into the season of dependence? Think about this. This is such a good word for your life. Joseph would have never chosen his delay. He would have never asked to be left in prison for 2 whole years. Would you? Anybody in the room, right? None of us would choose that. But that delay put him in a position to see God's ultimate direction in his life. Here's the bottom line for you and I today. We have no clue about what we need to do in life. You say, well, I'm kind of offended by that, Pastor. You don't know the end from the beginning, but God does. And so if you've come to a stop sign, you're like, I don't know what's going on here. I can't push forward in my career. I can't push forward in my family and personally. I just don't know why God seems to have me in a season of waiting. Could it be that you're just like Joseph? That God has pressed pause on your life so that you can ultimately see God's direction in your life. If you find yourself in that place, Pinnacle Hills, if you find yourself in that position, Fayetteville Campus, will you just simply direct your trust to the Lord? Would you just simply have an attitude that simply says this, Lord, I don't understand all this. I don't even like where I'm at, but Lord, I just trust where I'm at. Will you trust God that He really is in the waiting, that He really is sovereign over your delays? I love what Spurgeon wrote. He says, if the Lord Jehovah makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts, for blessed are all they that wait for Him. He is worth waiting for. Do you believe that today, church? He's worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith, exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. What an interesting phrase. God's people have always been defined by a waiting for Him. And today, right here in 2020, just like thousands of years of saints gone by, God may have you in that same position. And so I often use hands when I'm talking about your response to God. If you're a follower of Christ today, you can have one of two positions before the Lord as it relates to waiting. You can shake your fist at God. God, why are you doing this to me? Why am I in a season of, why is this happening right now? Why my career? Why my family? Or like Joseph, you can say, Lord, have thine own way. And I trust you for your direction in my life. I trust that your delays are my directions. For some of you, today it is a move back to trust in the Lord. It is a move back to a place of surrender before the Lord. You say, Lord, I have fought against you. I've hated this season, but Lord, today I just come back to a place of waiting. And I want to be a waiting person, waiting in good faith, waiting in truth. Maybe today you've never met Jesus Christ personally, and you just have had this constant sense of, man, waiting on something. You've tried the ways of the world, and you've waited for that to satisfy, and it hasn't. You've waited on this to help fulfill you, and it hasn't. What you have ultimately been waiting on is Jesus Christ. Only He can fill you up. Only He can change your life. Only He can forgive your sin. And today, if you've never trusted Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Whichever campus you're at Fayetteville or at Pinnacle, can we bow together right now? And maybe the last 30 seconds you would say, Nick, I feel like you are speaking directly to my soul. I've been longing for something. I haven't even been able to express it. I've been waiting for a relationship to fill me. I've been waiting for sin to fill me. I've been waiting for entertainment to fill me. And none of those things can. They always leave you empty. Today, would you put your trust in Jesus Christ? You realize that when God sent Jesus and Jesus came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross in your place for your sin, and was resurrected from the grave, He did all that for a moment like this, 2,000 years later, that you could be sitting in a church service listening to what God can do in your life. Would you surrender your life to Jesus now? If that's you, would you just pray this prayer in the quietness of your heart? Jesus, today, I turn to you. Just tell Him this, I repent of a life of sin and of a life lived for myself. Lord, today I turn in faith to you and I trust in what you've done on the cross to save me. Jesus, today I give you control of my life. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, today, if you just pray to receive Christ, man, we rejoice with you, whether you're at Pinnacle Hills there or whether you're at Fayetteville Campus here. We're going to throw up a number on the screen for you. We'll keep it up there throughout the end of both of these services. And if you just pray to receive Christ, we want you to text us. This is a way for us to get in contact with you and for us to begin to help you walk with the Lord Jesus. This is not going to be anything weird. We'll text you. We'll call you, whatever you prefer. But text us number 479-343-8777. And text us your name in the box there. Text us, let that be the text of the text, if that makes sense. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Chris there at Pinnacle Hills. You come back up and bring closure to the service, Pinnacle Hills. We love you guys. We will see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.